This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Guidestone Newsweek and The Hill. We go to the headline out of London. Paris reporting, Victor Mallet, the correspondent. France's Pacific Island territory of New Caledonia voted overwhelmingly against independence on Sunday, these last hours, in the last of three scheduled referendums since 2018. But difficult negotiations over its future are expected to continue following a boycott of the latest vote by pro-independence militants. Gordon, this is so confusing. Only Cleo Pascal can sort this out. So we call upon Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. When last we left Cleo, she was explaining to us the Solomon Islands and the attack on Chinatown and the deployment of constabulary from Australia. This is the vast Indo-Pacific. This is a part of the world where there are 2 million French citizens, is my memory of the numbers, and where Mr. Macron, in a re-election cycle, must attend to anything that goes on, especially when the vote supports staying with France and rejects independence. Cleo, a very good day to you. What does this mean, pro-independence boycott, anti-independence vote, vote no to the independence movement? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's a very interesting situation. There's a large indigenous population of people called the Kanak, and they said that this was the wrong time to hold the referendum because they lost about 300 people in total to COVID. And the Kanak people's mourning rituals are very complex. And they thought that, you know, it was not possible for them to participate properly and respect their traditional customs if they held the referendum now. The French refused to postpone the referendum. And so it went ahead. And as mentioned, only about 40% showed up to vote. And of those, over 96% voted to stay part of France. So the speculation, obviously, is that most of those people who voted were of kind of French origin as opposed to Kanak. The reason this is a kind of a strategic issue is because, yes, it's in the context of the large Indo-Pacific, but it's this area of the South Pacific called Melanesia, which the Solomon Islands is a part of, Papua New Guinea is a part of, Vanuatu is a part of, and it's an area where there are a lot of social fault lines, as we saw in the Solomons. And the concern is, among many, is that China comes in and exploits those fault lines to weaken the independence of those countries. I know it's ironic to say that a country going independent could make it more dependent. But I think the concern is that if it goes independent because of its very large nickel resources and its strategic location, China will try to get in and will successfully exert more control. And John, you may know this area from World War II. This is New Caledonia's capital, Noumea, is where the U.S. fleet that fought in the Battle of the Coral Sea was based. Highly strategic location.
Yes, the Coral Sea battle that stop the Japanese advance at that point was going like clockwork, was right up. New Caledonia is off the coast of Queensland, Australia. Coral Sea is in between. So without that success in the Coral Sea, we have a different outcome going forward. The puzzle here is who knew when it was acquired by France? It was 1853, Louis Napoleon. This is a colonial possession. It is amazing that it survived this long, Cleo, as a colony and not an independent agent.
So that was the U.S. stationed close to 5,000 troops there during World War II, and that's where the fleet was based. And after the war, the U.S. handed it back to France. It's not quite a colonial possession. It's a territory. It's part of France. It's an outright part of France. They have French citizenship. But that was, this is sort of when people talk about the U.S. being a colonial power, you know, if it is, it's probably one of the worst in history because it'll liberate locations like that and then just hand it away, without any particular, planning involved about keeping a toehold there afterwards.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, there were three scheduled referenda. This was the last one. Do you think that for some reason there's going to be a fourth?
So there is scheduled to be a fourth, but on a different topic. So these three were part of an agreement, the 1998 Noumea Agreement that settled the ethnic conflicts previous. And now there's supposed to be a fourth one about the path forward. So what sort of a relationship New Caledonia will have with France. I can tell you that the French experts that I've, security experts that I've, heard speak on this expect there to be a lot of problems, and they are concerned that the French footprint there is going to be reduced. There are demographic reasons. The Kanak population is growing much larger than the sort of white metropolitan, not just white, but, you know, kind of the people who grew up in mainland France or their children, as opposed to the local Kanak. And it's hard to know with the French, but they always bring up this China angle. And this is one of the reasons why they need Australia. So the whole kind of AUKUS pantomime is undermined by how much the French need Australia for dealing with this New Caledonia situation. The French, the Australian media has been very kind to the French position on New Caledonia. And if they were reporting more on the situation that's going on with the Kanak or taking a different position in the media to the English-speaking world, it could really destabilize the French position. And also, because it's right next to Australia, they share a maritime boundary. So this is a place where the French are vulnerable. They need Australia, the perfidious Anglo-Saxon world, to help guard their flank. And they're very concerned about China.
To the Solomon Islands, directly north of New Caledonia, also at the edge of the Coral Sea. When last we left, there had been arson in Chinatown and hard feelings. Is there any advance on that conflict?
Yeah, the situation is really unfortunate. The Australians sent in security forces, and ultimately they were joined by PNG, Fiji, and New Zealand forces to kind of secure the situation as it was put. But effectively what it did was it gave the corrupt pro-PRC prime minister breathing room. And there was a vote of no confidence, which he won. Just recently, just a few days ago, on Monday, allegedly with a large amount of Chinese cash. So you have a not a great situation where Australia is looking like a mercenary force to protect this guy. Meanwhile, the Malaita has sent a letter to the UN Security Council asking for it to investigate whether or not the 2000 peace accord, Townsville peace accord, has been implemented. Because, you know, the premise that the Australians use is, if we didn't go in, the Chinese would have gone in. But what the locals are saying is, we can solve our own problems. We just need to be given a chance to do it. And we have a pathway to do it through this Townsville peace accord. We agreed to this 20 years ago. So make sure that the prime minister is following through on his commitments, and he was the prime minister at the time 20 years ago, to the Townsville Peace Accord, and we'll be okay. Come and monitor the implementation of this agreement that we already agreed to, instead of sending in troops that have no context for their operation and now have no exit strategy.
Is there a date for the troops to leave the Solomon Islands?
No, there's no exit strategy. There's nothing. I mean, it's a complete disaster. And now there are allegations that 20 years ago, this prime minister, who was then in opposition at the time, may have been implicated in the kidnapping. That seems to be kind of established based on what he said in parliament, of the leadership of the alternative party at the time, and may even have been involved in a plot to kill somebody. And that's not being investigated. So this is the guy that's being protected by Australia.
Cleo Pascal, Senior Fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. And the Indo-Pacific, the South Pacific, the Paradise Islands, nothing but turmoil from New Caledonia to the Solomon Islands. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.